Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Black
Multiverse Theory Podcast. This is episode 21 of a podcast challenging anti-blackness through discussions of global, local, and popular culture from the perspective of Afro-Canadians who live different versions of themselves to navigate everyday life.
Awesome. So, how was your week?
My week has been tremendously stressful. I have been really, really challenged on the mental health front. And just kind of working through it, I guess. How about you?
Yeah, it's been a little bit different. I've been doing some transitions as far as employment and how things are. So with the transitions, it comes with difference in sleep patterns and mental health and all the things that are encompassed around that. But today is a highlight. This is our new day that we are trying out. It's a Sunday night. A little bit earlier. Sorry for the tardiness. I know everybody was expecting us about an hour and 45 minutes ago, but we are
My here fault.
Now. Not a big deal. So we did have a meeting before this that kind of went over. But it is good news because there are new things in the horizon, and I would like all of the peoples to be involved in that. Hey, Tanya! We're also trying out new camera angles, new placement, new stuff. Just a change around, a complete and total change around of how we are. So it's good, and we're hoping that everybody has a good time tonight, which is going to be great. Please remember this is the live recording of the podcast. So we do have our podcast, the end result, and all the stuff that we talk about will be on all the podcast social media outlets. So, Google Play, iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, you can get us pretty much anywhere on there. And we encourage everyone to do that. Invite your friends, subscribe, and enjoy. Today's also really special because we got a test happening throughout the weeks. Chunky Soup has, and we'll deal with it a little bit later on in the show, but Chunky Soup has just revealed two new flavors in their soup content.
Yes, this was alerted. This was alerted to me.
Somebody alerted Anilo about it.
And then had the nerve to send me photos.
Well, photos.
Proving that it was true.
And the two flavors Chunky Soup, Campbell's Chunky Soup has come out with is jerk chicken and butter chicken.
That's rice and peas and jerk chicken also.
Rice and peas and jerk chicken soup. Mm-hmm. And then we have butter chicken as well. So we have cooked the soup. We put it in
the microwave.
In the microwave. We put it in two bowls. And we have the soup here. And we will be trying it. Tanya says her belly isn't built for that. I don't know how many other people are going to be able to say the same thing. Is your belly built for this? I have a lovely poll going on. So if you look on our channel here, there's a poll going on. Let us know. Will you buy it? Or will you not buy it? Or maybe you might buy it? Or are you waiting to see if the two of us pass out today after eating it before you choose whether you're going to buy it? Tanya said, fix it, Jesus.
Honestly, in preparation alone, there were far more vegetables involved than I realized. And the jerk chicken looks a little like swine. It's fatty, whatever meat that they use. So they may have, I'm not sure.
The chicken looks like
the pork. Butter chicken soup actually just looks like butter chicken. Like there should be rice accompanying. Like
so we'll be looking at it, analyzing it on all the fronts, whether we have whether we are going to have, you know, how it looks, how it tastes, how it feels, the texture behind it, what the chunky soup, what was behind this chunky soup? Did they go over and say, hey, let's, you know, we really like jerk chicken, let's make a soup. Let's try and enhance, you know, what we like and the different cultures. Maybe it's for culture days. They're trying to do it.
It's unlikely. The two things that both of those two things have in common is spice and pepper. And those also are the things that white folks generally are allergic to.
Spice and pepper and seasoning?
Furthermore.
Can I get a quick backstory on the soup? Tim, if you can enhance that question and just let me know what you mean by background, like where the soup come from, or if you want chunky
Tim
soup.
Tim missed the 3 minutes where we explained why.
Do you want chunky?
Oh, Walmart? Do you mean like that?
Yeah, like where we got it. So just give us a little brief synopsis of what you want to hear, and we'll go through that. But
long story short, I was alerted that there was some soup-propriation.
Soup-propriation.
Shout out to Darren Jordan. I can't just take his joke like that. So there was some soup-propriation on the horizon. We laughed and laughed, and then this person who alerted me, shout out to Michelle, had the nerve to actually send me a photo. When I posted it, shout out to Cheryl, was like, yo, you guys should try this on the air. And then now we're here.
Now we're here.
Yeah. So literally peer pressure got me here. I would have had nothing to do with this if I wasn't carried from one step to the next from my so-called friends.
The funny thing about the whole thing is, we are trying different things on this show. Like, this show is all about Black culture. It's all about, you know, here in Edmonton, here in Canada, here in Alberta, you know, what we go through and what we deal with on a regular daily basis.
Right.
This chunky soup, going to jerk chicken and going to butter chicken, are they trying to figure out what's happening? Are they trying to appeal to all the masses? Let's find out. We're going to find out tonight.
I don't think they made the jerk chicken and peas or rice soup for us. It's not even the right peas.
Well, I don't think they said it's rice and peas.
There's rice and peas in there.
I'm not saying that they said that on the can. Did they say that on the can?
I don't remember. I'm sure it says peas or rice.
When I looked at the can,
it has to say rice and peas in
there. Peas on there. It didn't say anything. It just says jerk chicken.
So what it looks like is, like, they made jerk chicken. They also incorporated carrots because for some reason Campbell's just incorporated carrots into the jerk chicken.
It's a soup.
And it looks like they had this, and maybe they said to the cashier, can you put some gravy, oxtail gravy on the rice?
And the
cashier was like, move from here, move up! And then poured water all over.
Yeah, they were like, we have to substitute it with something else. Is there a pierogi soup? As a matter of fact, there are many different flavors of soup that Chunky has come out with just recently.
So is there a poutine one?
I don't think there's a poutine soup, but
it should just be cheese and gravy and fries inside soup. Like, the gravy is the soup.
You mean the what?
That's what they're doing with that butter chicken over there.
Well, we'll see what the situation is. There are other soups, but a pierogi soup, I'm not sure.
FYI, butter chicken also has carrots in that soup. I've never had carrots in butter chicken, visible carrots.
In the time frame that I've known Tania is really about the Ukrainian pierogies and making sure that they are represented.
No. Tania makes pierogies like aloo pie. She makes pierogies with all kind of coriander and spices and curry. That's how she makes pierogies. So don't listen to her. She's doing the same Trinidad thing.
I think we're going to get to the soup portion in just a second. We're going to get to the soup portion in just a moment.
Mm. How was your... Oh, we already did how was your week. Sorry, we I just got here.
How was your week? In the week, had a great time. My wife, I know, I think at the last episode we were talking about...
Oops, sorry. Go.
My wife was... Yes, Dana, you did fix the recipe. You did. So my wife was away because of a funeral. So now she's back. With all funerals, there is sadness, drama, there's happy times, you know, as you meet new family and stuff like that. But as she came back, we were talking about just different stuff. So my son was there, and she was talking about her trip to one of the gentlemen at church. And my son comes up, my second son, which a lot of people say he's humorous, and he gets some of his jokes from me. This is style of joking. He comes up, and he's like, so, like, I went to, like, Jamaica, and I had, like, a great time, and it was awesome. Like, in the middle of grown folks talking.
Did he get one slap?
He barely did. He barely did. But you know what? We live in a new age where slapping is not appropriate after a certain time. So let us know how you feel about slapping your children when they're talking with adults supposed to be talking. Should they be seen and not heard?
Honestly, people should fight the police instead of fighting their children these days. I wish they would beat the police as hard as they beat their kids.
They beat their children so the police won't have to.
That's what they say? Okay.
That's what my dad used to say.
Yo, the most painful thing is sitting, having a conversation with your grown child and having them explain specifically psychologically what you hitting them did and what those years, like what those years held for them, which I had to do that. I had to reckon with my pre-7-year-old parenting style.
And this happened, this conversation that happened did happen at Bethel. And Tim was saying that at my Bethel church, and at our church, we used to have a rite of passage of slapping children. They used to preach about spare the rod and spoil the child.
Yeah, I know this one.
But I think over the years, we've learned different techniques that work better and that don't hurt your hand when you hit your child.
Oh, boy.
You're doing more hurting of yourself than actually disciplining the child.
I used to have to pull Sanaya's shirt over her head so that her arms, like, you know, like in hockey. I used to jersey her. I learned it from the Oilers.
You learned that from the Oilers.
I learned it from Mike Greer.
Mike Greer and Mark Messier?
Mike Greer specifically.
Mike Greer used to pull it over and do some haymakers, some sloppy ones.
I'm telling you, I learned it from Mike Greer specifically.
That's hilarious.
I remember exactly the first time that I saw it. They were playing the Canadian.
Wow. And the funny thing about beating and where it comes from and where we're at now, I realized at a young age that if my dad spoke more than he beat, things would have been a whole lot different. The relationship I have with my dad is only because the choice to make it what it is. So, like, choice to be friendly, be nice, be happy with who he is. I could get upset at all the things that they used to do, and they used to beat and hanger and the extension cord they used to use and belts, the leather belt. Go and get the leather belt. Go and get the wooden spoon. Go and get the... All these things they would say to go and get. And I think that over time, where we grew up in the culture that I grew up with, the church became your community, became your family, it became your village. And they firmly believed that it takes a village to raise a child. But in doing so, they would hit you just like
anybody can hit you.
They would bring you to the altar. Public embarrassment was a good way that they would discipline you, by publicly embarrassing you in front of everybody.
That's terrible.
Oh, yeah. Calling you up. I remember choir. We used to stand with one foot in our hand and one hand on our earlobe and have to balance yourself in the corner. There were different things that come from believe it or not, those people that are on here from slavery days. And this is how
people... We learned how to parent from Massa.
We did. We learned how to parent from slavery days. And so learning...
And we're not that far out. We're about 3 generations away, most of us.
Most of us. And that's the thing.
And some of us are the first generation of readers in our family, quite honestly.
Tim said he had his parents send his sibling for the belt for him. So you imagine that? You have to go send, you know, somebody else to come. He says, all now the relationship has recovered.
I would never. But that's really messed up to bring this other child into it.
Yeah. Go and get the belt so I can beat this guy. Like, it's an interesting thing. And not to bring it like that, but when I saw this child come into the middle, not I saw him, but when this child came into the middle and I heard about the child coming in the middle of the conversation and cracked a joke like me and then ended up...
You were like, that's my boy.
I was like, that was funny. What he said was extremely funny and it's something I would say. And the two, and my wife and the person she was talking to were like, wow, that's totally how Nigel jokes. That's how he jokes. But he's nine. So what would have happened if I had cracked that joke in real life and that was my mom and talking to her friend? I would have got box crossed my face. Like, what's the doubt? So I want to hear from the people. I want to hear from the people as well. Leave your comments in the comment section. Please let us know how you feel about the beating and the disciplining of the children. Now, speaking of the disciplinary system on the scroll, I'll start off on the scroll. What I got for the scroll is the actress lady, I'm not sure her name. We have an ongoing investigation of parents that have paid to have their children get into these Ivy League and great colleges.
Felicity Hoffman or whatever her name is?
The lady, Miss Hoffman, came in. She has a wicked show on Netflix, I think it was.
She's in Ava DuVernay's thing, right?
And she was in Desperate Housewives, I think.
Yeah, Felicity Hoffman, that's the one.
Yeah, so she was there, and she paid for her daughter to get into an Ivy League school.
Mm-hmm.
So now she gets a disciplinary action that came in.
Mm-hmm.
She pleads guilty.
Mm-hmm.
She says, I lay myself at the mercy of the court. You know, this is why I did it. And the court says 14 days in jail.
Mm-hmm.
They say $3,000 fine, $30,000 fine.
Mm-hmm.
And she has to work community service hours. Those are the three things that happen when I watch the news.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people are upset about this because people in the States, and especially where she is, for changing their address in the wrong way,
mm-hmm.
the penalty has been given to other people of color
mm-hmm.
of 2 years in prison. Changing your address.
And we understand that racism is a systemic issue that deeply rooted in the judicial system.
Yeah.
There's like very much racism in every single level of judicial system. And that on the whole, black people and people of color generally, but black people specifically, get more time than our white counterparts for exactly the same crimes.
We don't know who... I've never heard of any black person that's in this particular case. But you're right. For the same crime...
Well, the same crime isn't... Like, let's assume on par.
Or on par crimes. Okay. Yeah, they'll definitely... But white people will get a lesser sentence.
Right, but generally for the same crime, even possession, like rape, like literally the same crime over,
black people get... It's not balanced at all.
More time.
And I think with her, I think that...
Did we really think she would be punished? Like, are people like surprised? I'm surprised she got 14 days in jail, if I'm honest. I'm like, oh, she had to do time?
The way how the media and the news set it forth for me was, or how they set it forth and spun the story, and I wouldn't say spun, but they told the story. They said that the daughter has ADHD. So the daughter has a learning disability. She's tried everything from having people to help her, from tutors to everything. She's got the money. And she's been doing that. But the daughter struggled with math. So because the daughter struggled with math, and the daughter wants to be an actress and a singer.
So nothing to do with math.
Nothing to do with math. She felt that she shouldn't be held back by her disability. So she paid to have that overlooked in the screening process. And sure enough, it was.
She likely also paid to have this crime overlooked.
Yes.
I actually had this.
I feel so sorry for any individual who has to deal with these problems on a regular basis. I just feel sorry for them. But it's, I mean, it's fair.
Which problem? Having to pay all this money to these people to make your way through the world?
I'm not saying anything about that particular problem. Like I'm not saying it's right. It's definitely wrong.
I would for sure pay the money if I had it and I could.
100%. I think that's where I'm going.
I would do it
thing.
For sure.
Would you? The people that are bullcrock, Tegan said on the thing. So. Here's the funny thing about it. I need to hear from the people who are out there listening, those who are out there. and then let me know what your comments are. Would you pay to have your child get in if your child was struggling to get in?
Yes.
Because of a disability.
And you have the money.
I'm not talking about your child just can't get through, like, your child has a disability.
Sure.
Child has one arm, one eye, you know, mentally, has mental health issues. Would you pay? Now, if your child just is clumsy and can't do it, I know a lot of people would pay for that too, for their child to get in. For any reason. I think people just want their children to do better.
She has ADHD and it affects her math.
I think a lot ADHD.
So that's what we're saying. I didn't say ADHD affects a lot of people. I said ADHD affects her math.
Yeah.
Is what we're saying?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's what she's saying. She has some
sort of... Cool. You're
of,
right. Disability. Yeah, yeah,
she
yeah.
She has some sort of disability.
So math ADD disability.
ADHD has a problem with focus.
Sure. On math.
Yeah.
Okay.
You don't have... You think that a person with ADHD shouldn't have a problem with math?
Generally focused. So being that we have this one particular subject that she's not good at it, right? I don't know that ADHD specifically affects like one particular thing. It's like, it's kind of an overreaching thing.
Blanket spectrum. I hear you. I hear you on that.
She's not like only ADD at math. If it's, bro, pay attention to math. You need a better tutor or a better teacher, or maybe you need some, you know, like some goats and, you know, physical things that you can count. Little
the
toys.
Funny thing about math to me is a lot of people are gifted.
Yeah, that's what Tanya said. Math specific ADHD. Yeah, right. That's what I'm talking about. Like, if we're putting that on par to pay for your kid to get in because they have a disability.
The thing about math.
I'll pay for my kid to get in because they're black.
Some people get it. My son, my oldest son, who was on the show a few weeks ago, he is great at math. Like, really good at math. He reminds me of my dad. My dad was really good at math. But his English and language arts, he struggles with that portion. And he doesn't struggle because he doesn't get it. He struggles because, as my parents would have said, he lazy. He doesn't want to write out all the words. He has problems sitting there for a long period of time, focusing his thoughts and his words and just putting it out.
If Felicity Hoffman was like, my daughter has dysnomia.
Right.
Okay.
Any type of disability, I feel.
Okay. Dysnomia sounds like, okay, I don't even know if that's the exact word, if it's right. But it sounds like, so math doesn't look properly to you. It's like a thing that's going on with your brain. It's like
dyslexia for math. Yeah.
Okay. So I made it up, but it exists. Cool. So if you'd be like, yeah, so this math thing, or if you have dyslexia, okay, I know people who have dyslexia, and I know people who have ADHD, and I know people who have both. I know people who have both. So your dyslexia, like your ADHD, is not going to only affect English or only affect math. So I'm calling bullshit. I'm not really sure if you're catching what I'm doing, but what I'm saying is,
whether I'm catching or not is not really.
Okay. Yeah. I can't tell if you're catching
or
not.
I hear what you're throwing off the starboard bow there. And
I'm like, okay, she has ADD and she's bad at math.
I get it.
She has ADD and she's bad at math. She just can't get by in math. Because with math, you can't BS your way through like you can with English.
No, and a lot of people can't BS their way through English either.
Right.
Because how many times have we had the report that we've had to do, you know, how many pages?
Nobody can BS their way through math. At all.
You put all the space.
Math is math.
Use 3-4 spaces to get an eight page book report. You skip 4 spaces here, you skip 3 spaces.
Tell me how you do that in math.
You can't.
You cannot. Nobody can do it in math.
What I'm saying is, if you're not good at math to begin with, having ADHD doesn't make it easier.
It makes it harder. Sure.
Right? So maybe she has ADHD.
But ADHD makes everything harder.
I think she has, she's better at English than she is at math. In general.
Sure.
And then on top of that, she has ADHD.
Okay.
So it makes everything worse. But she was able to get through on the English portion, just not the math portion.
Okay.
Agree? Does everybody agree with that portion? That's all I'm saying. But so I'm saying that anybody would.
Is she entitled to that opportunity?
You said entitled.
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
I don't think anybody's really entitled to anything.
I'm just
wondering. You work hard, you get in.
Okay.
I don't know. I went to university. You went to university?
Yeah, but I also know that when I go to university and I'm like, I have diagnosis of ADHD, they're like, okay, here's a list of things we can do to compensate. So it's not on that list, it's not like your mom can pay us. It's not on the list. But they'll give you more time. They'll even have somebody in there with you.
Mm-hmm.
You can use different things in order to complete the task and to complete the test. There's a lot of ways to do it. You can have an audio test instead of a written test where you have to read. There's a lot of things that help with that aid with that disability.
And this allows me to segue into the next portion where we deal with.
But I'm definitely paying if it's my kid. Go ahead.
If we're dealing with white privilege.
I'm here jumping on both sides. I'm like, she should get punished harder. Because I would.
I think in general, she is getting punished for whatever she's doing. She's got 14 days. I don't think the punishment that she's getting will equal that of any type of person of color.
Of course not.
Especially black people. And that's just the thing. Which leads us into what white privilege really is. That is white privilege best. She gets 14 days, $30,000 fine, which she makes $30,000 while she's on the toilet most days probably.
Mm-hmm.
And she can pretty much do her community service hours. Like, I'm not going to really affect her.
Her community service hours is going to be showing up to some places as the actress that she is. Yeah. And shaking some
hands.
And
just because this happened, any show she goes on, people will watch it.
Right.
Now, because they're like, oh, that's the girl, that's the lady who got convicted and had to go to jail. Right? They put, what's her name?
Look at Martha.
They put Martha Stewart.
They're going to pair her up. They're going to come out, they're going to pair her up with Waka.
Waka Flocka, they're going to do their own thing.
Waka's vegan now.
Knitting show.
That's a cooking show.
Oh, yeah. So, Jimmy Kimmel had a show on, brought in Chelsea Handler, and she
likes the BBC.
If you don't know about Chelsea Handler
likes the BBC.
She likes, you know, black people, and she met him with 50 Cent.
She likes the BBC, and she's been at for 50 Cent for a minute.
She's been dealing.
Fetishizing black people.
She's been dealing with 50 Cent on an intimate relationship. But she was able to break down for the Americas what white privilege really is on the show, on the Jimmy Kimmel Show. She broke it down.
Mm-hmm.
If you get a chance, YouTube it. It's actually an accurate depiction of white privilege is in her eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And she just explains that white privilege is when you could wake up and you have the rights to do things that other people are not allowed to do or don't have the same rights and don't have the ability to get done. And she goes on further, I'm paraphrasing, but
mm-hmm.
watch it. Chelsea Handler. Now, if you don't know, she had her own show for a while. I don't know if she still has her own show, but she's definitely an advocate for black people with her blonde hair, blue eyes.
She's trying to use up that privilege somehow.
She's using the forum.
For good.
To let other white people know what, because white people are confused.
Yeah, and I think white people should sort that out for them.
I think, and that's why, you know, an interpretation of what it is was needed.
Yeah. I was going to say something about Chelsea Handler. I don't remember. Okay, moving along.
Moving along.
That's all you got?
Well, because we know that in social media, there's been, you know, Chelsea Handler, you know, 50 Cent. 50 Cent has said a few things about Floyd Mayweather said a few things about T.I.
Mm-hmm.
It brought me into looking up what's new with T.I. T.I. has started his own podcast, has become the number one podcast.
Super fast.
On the iTunes.
Mm-hmm. Over here just fumbling at number two.
We're rumbling, fumbling through episode 21. We're working on it. But he jumped in and boom, podcast hit the charts flying. So check that out. It's actually pretty entertaining to listen to and pretty good. So as far as my part of the scroll.
Tim wants to know if having a black boyfriend strengthens or cheapens her efforts.
Wow.
And I would say that having a black boyfriend is probably the thing that motivates her efforts. Because generally what I notice with white folks is that they don't internalize racism until it happens to somebody close to them. So that's my guess. That's my answer to that.
And I hear that. Some black people don't get racism or don't get close contact with racism. Some.
Oh, and most black people don't know how to, may not have the words in order to express what's going on with them, or may not be around other black folks. So they might not, or they may be around other black folks, but they may not be having the conversations to understand that you're not alone and you're not an island. So that takes time as well. And I think it's probably more the latter than the former.
Mm-hmm. And that's what you get. The former and the latter went together.
Mm-hmm.
Robin Peters coming in from Florida. Hey, man, how's it going? Moving on.
So, first and foremost, Dakota Fanning is apparently...
Dakota.
Yeah, Dakota Fanning is out here ruining her career, and she's playing a Muslim Ethiopian woman in her next movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Good with it. So there's been
is she Ethiopian because she was born in Ethiopia? Is she playing one of the Italian Ethiopian colonizers that went? It's Ethiopia.
So, the movie's called Sweetness in the Belly.
Sweetness in the Belly.
Right.
Wow.
And I believe...
I kind of want to look up a picture of this Sweetness in the Belly. Do they have any, like, posters up yet?
It's pretty much Dakota Fanning's white face and a loosely identifiable... Not a hijab, but, like... Maybe she's just covering her hair. Maybe it's a hijab type thing with the hair poking out the side of it.
It is deep.
Isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so...
you said ruining her career. Is there a lot of backlash on it?
There's a huge amount of backlash on it. And they were pretty much like, okay, so if you want to make a movie about a Muslim person, like, why not, like, use, like, any of the Muslim actors or actresses that are available, like, any of the bazillion of them that don't get the opportunity to be the protagonist. And Dakota Fanning was like, but guys, just to clarify, in the new film I'm part of, Sweetness in the Belly, I do not play Ethiopian woman. I play a British woman abandoned by her parents in Ethiopia and raised as a Muslim.
Oh, that actually is a lot different than what was said earlier.
Mm-hmm. And then
she
plays a Muslim woman, Ethiopian woman, of course, from Ethiopia, raised as a Muslim.
That happens.
And the civil war breaks out and she saves everybody.
She saves everybody.
Of course. That's the problem. It's another white savior film.
All right.
So no, she's heroic in the Civil War process.
She's out there saving people.
Right.
Come on now.
Right.
She's out there saving the world.
Yeah. So she's like, the movie's about home and family and what that really means. Watch it.
I think I'm going out.
You watch Gods of Egypt?
No.
You didn't?
No.
Okay.
I did watch it.
All right. Noel watches all the problematic movies. I'm like, what is this you're watching? He's like, it's Green Book. I'm like, we're not watching this. But even Green Book.
I like how she said, we're not watching this.
No, even we watched it, obviously. Even Green Book, Noel's like, so you're saying this white man taught this black man how to eat fried chicken?
He's like,
no.
Ridiculous.
This is factually inaccurate. I don't know about the rest of them. I've never heard.
How do you eat this? What do you do with the bone? What do you mean what you do with the bone?
You chew it up into smallest pieces you can possibly.
You give a black baby a bone, a chicken bone, and it's innate.
You know, one of the parenting haps, I don't know if I would call it a mishap, but it definitely happened. It happened. Okay. So Sanai was like all of 7 months old, like, I'm chewing on a chicken bone. And so she fell asleep. So there's a picture of this fat baby with the chicken bone on her chest. Now I'm like, can't give my dog a chicken bone. Probably shouldn't have given it to my baby either.
You can give your child a chicken bone.
I don't think so. I'm pretty sure there's something wrong with it. Yeah. You'll learn that later.
They get the gum.
Not all of our Caribbean parenting is good, no.
It helps with the gums. It helps.
So there was a picture of this, I think she's a principal at this Catholic school in Toronto, or the GTA.
Yeah.
And they took a picture of her, and on her desk was a book called The Guide for White Women Who Teach Black Boys. And everybody was like, oh, what? What's going on? That's racist.
Was she white?
She's a white principal. Okay. And I looked at it, and I was like, okay, girl, thank you for reading a freaking book. Like, thank you for picking up a book
and trying to figure out the situation.
Yeah, but what no one did was Google the book and understand that the largely teachers are white women. And there's a lot of white women teaching black boys without the ethnocultural, without the sociocultural references. And they're treating and teaching black boys the same way they're treating and teaching white boys. And they come from two completely different experiences. So, you know what? We should have every episode where I say good on a white person. Good on you, principal, whatever your name is.
That might be, you know, a segment.
I don't know. We'll see. These folks get enough props. They don't need them for my mouth. Okay, but all I'm saying is...
Well, I mean, in my part to that, or my two cents on that, when my children were they all go to the same school right now. They're all in elementary school. And they're all in there in different grades, right? And I think it was last year or the year before that, my son's teachers came up to me and they said, hey, we realize that you're good with English and good with speaking in general and good with actually speaking to all people. we're having a lot of trouble with the black boys in our classes and the parents, because the parents, the black boys in the classes are from wherever they're from, war-torn Liberia, wherever they're coming from as refugees. They come into the class, they see this white woman standing there, and they don't want to listen.
They're like, I'm good.
Yeah, I'm good. I don't want to listen to you. I don't listen. No. So they see them, they don't listen. So they go to the parents, they talk to the parents, and they have a problem with the parents because the parents don't really understand English, number one. There's a large language barrier. Or they have a really thick accent that they just can't understand. And one thing that I noticed that a lot of people, and white people in particular, have low patience for people who can't
accent his speech
clear English. So they were asking that I come to some of the parent teachers,
which is white supremacy, by the way. But anyway, go ahead.
Interviews to be like, hey, can you help us relate that this is happening in class, what we're doing in the class, mm-hmm. what we're doing, so they can choose whether they want to stay there, whether they want to keep the children there.
So can you, this stuff. Black person who's born and raised in Canada, who mm-hmm. speaks exactly like me, mm-hmm. sit beside me and translate for this other black person born mm-hmm. somewhere else?
Because cool. What was happening was the parents also were like, we don't want to listen to you, white lady. We can't really deal with you. And they had a problem communicating. But when I would come to the parent-teacher interviews, they'd be sitting outside, so I go and say, "Hey, how's it going? What's your name? Where are you from?" I'm from Edmonton, but my parents are from Trinidad. You know, I go through the whole thing, talk to them. You are from Ghana. We go through the whole thing. We'd have a great time, and I'm laughing with them. And these white people would be sitting at the door, like, "How did you do that? How were you able to communicate so well with them and have no problems?"
So that's not racism, that part.
Why? Because they can't communicate with them.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I would call it racism. I know it's a struggle in communication.
Okay.
I know it's a struggle in communication between two cultures. When you come from another culture, if I were to go
Do they have? Do they ask you to translate for the Ukrainian parents too?
I mean, I'm not Ukrainian.
Okay. Can they translate the accent to the Ukrainian parents?
If I needed them to do it, they probably could do it.
Okay.
If I went to Japan,
it's a lot of putting the labor on you, this other black random person, rather than
a Japanese person who knew English to explain it to me. If I went to Japan and two Japanese people were talking,
there's a Japanese guy in Japan, black, born and raised in Japan, mm-hmm. speaks Japanese exactly like that person, mm-hmm. and you also speak Japanese. So they want that black Japanese guy to talk to you instead of them because they can communicate better?
Yeah, because they've been having a hard time communicating.
Okay.
They asked me if I could do it. I said no. So, to end the story... I don't know where you're going with
it. Read a book and watch some YouTube. The reason that you need to hear and understand that people are not speaking a different language and hear them. It's insane.
I said no because time is my, like.
That's labor.
It's
labor that they're putting on you.
I have four children of my own. You want me to come and do
sit
this?
Through
I
all?
I just didn't have the time to do it. It was a lot. I would have. I probably would have loved to do it under different circumstances, but it was a lot.
I would never.
What else you got?
I would just growl at them if they asked me that.
By the way, we are having a countdown coming up
to the soup.
To the soup. The soup's going to come right after the scroll, mm-hmm. And then we'll continue on with the screen. Go ahead.
Robert Mugabe, R.I.P. He passed away this last week at 95 years old, born February 21st, 1924.
Who's he?
Robert Mugabe.
Yeah, who's Robert Mugabe, for the people who don't know who Robert Mugabe is?
He is the ex-president of Zimbabwe.
Wow.
And Robert Mugabe in the year 2000 was the one who seized the land from white farmers. And has been doing it over the course of years. He got a lot of pressure in Europe. And he reminded everybody that when the paperwork was signed, when Rhodesia became Zimbabwe, mm-hmm. there was clauses that said that this land that was taken by whites from blacks had to be given back to blacks. Mm-hmm. So people really challenged him about taking that land for free, and he felt like, and felt like that the white farmers should be compensated in some way. And he was like,
I love it.
He was like, did they buy this land from us? No, they took it. So we're going to take it back. The challenge with Mugabe, like a lot of those guys, is that he came into power in the 60s, and my homie just sat there for all the whole time. And then when it came time for him to go, he put his young wife there to, like, succeed him. So really the Mugabe, and you know, of course, poverty begets a certain amount of, you start to learn how to navigate through and use resources in different ways. Mm. So what winds up happening is that we look at people in impoverished places and we're like, why would they do that? Why? Look at them. Why wouldn't they look at their people? But we're not actually understanding that there's a mentality of poverty, and there's a lot of things that go on over the course of years and years and years that would make you interested in securing number one.
Right.
So it happens, really, right? So this guy was in power for a really, really long time until I think it was about a year ago he left power. My dad kind of raised me to appreciate radical people, and Mugabe was a hero in our household, even though he wasn't too many of them. And a lot of people suffered under his rule.
Well, rest in peace.
Yeah, R.I.P. Robert Mugabe. Big ups to Vivian Salmon.
Yes.
She is the first black president of the Canadian Bar Association. So big ups to her.
Big ups, Canadian Bar. Mm-hmm. Nice.
And I've recently been saying that I miss reading because I don't get the opportunity to read for fun anymore.
Okay.
And I really grew up as the kind of kid who would like just power through books, and I don't get the opportunity to do that. However, as soon as I can, I'm going to pick up the book Children of Blood and Bone, which is written by, I don't have her name in front of me, but a Nigerian author, a female Nigerian author, and I do enjoy sci-fi, and that will be the first non-Star Wars film to be directed by Lucasfilms.
Yeah.
Since Disney acquired that brand. Yeah. And we do know that George Lucas also has a black wife. So hopefully he'll look out for the, how do you say, integrity of the project.
Yes.
And lastly, this is on the screen. I'm saving it.
Oh.
It's soup time.
It's soup time, everyone.
No soup for you.
We are going to have soup. So for those of you joining in right now, tell your neighbors and your friends to tune in. We are going to try the two new soups.
Neighbors and friends.
From Chunky, Campbell's Chunky Soup Family, which is the butter chicken and the jerk chicken and rice and peas soup that they have here. Tommy Adeyemi. He's the author.
Okay.
Great.
I guess that Children of Blood and Bone should have been on the screen, too. I accidentally didn't put enough spoons here.
It's all right. We only need one spoon each. Which one is this?
That's butter chicken over there.
This is butter chicken, everyone.
Is this the right kind of peas for rice and peas?
You know what? Different cultures use different peas.
Is there potato? Is this potato here?
All right, everyone. This is what we are looking at here. It is mash. It looks like something. Looks butter chicken-y. It looks like it has some sort of chickpeas in there.
There's corn in it. I'm sorry. I'm inspecting the jerk chicken. There's corn and carrots.
There's some sort of something in here.
I think this is potato.
By the way, this is very dangerous for me. I have like 158 different allergies to foods. So me trying a food on national TV.
We've arrived, folks.
We've arrived.
We're on national TV now.
Please make sure to tell Nilo to call 911 if something happens.
Oh, there's peppers in here?
Mm-hmm.
How does it taste? This is like ASMR. You gotta make the mouth noises into the mic for the people who like mouth noises.
Tastes like butter chicken, actually. Just like
that. I told you, it looks like butter chicken. That they just need to put some rice with it.
It's not that bad.
Is it spicy?
A little bit. It's mild.
Does it taste like ghee?
It's definitely white people
spicy. Do they put ghee in it? It's white people spicy? Mm-hmm. White folks would be sweating. You know how they sweat when they eat pepper?
Yeah. It's not really spicy. It's not spicy.
I can't tell what's chicken and what's carrots.
No, I can't. Like, I'm trying to take out... I don't think there's one piece of chicken in here.
We may not have pulled any chicken in this
one. I don't think
you
pulled any chicken out.
What's this? That's not chicken?
Try it. You tell me if it's chicken. It looks like a carrot.
It was a potato.
Chunky.
It doesn't taste like butter chicken, though.
Chunky's been
there's also well. Some kind of, like, green... See?
Looks like spinach, maybe? Or callaloo? It's very slimy.
It's, it tastes like butter chicken soup.
This one actually tastes like butter chicken soup.
No, it does not taste like butter chicken. It has that soupy taste to it. Like how all soup has like soupy taste to it. Like taste.
But
it not does, all soup, canned soup.
To me, it tastes like butter chicken. Does it taste like butter chicken to you?
No.
This is what butter chicken tastes like to me. Mm-mm. This is why I do not order butter chicken anywhere.
This is what it tastes like. It tastes like if I met butter chicken at a party, and then the next day I was telling you about butter chicken. That's how it tastes.
Okay. Okay.
Like your experience of butter chicken. It's like
this is what butter chicken if I were to say
it's a rumor.
This is what it tastes like, you would be like, oh, and you make it based off of what I told you it tastes
this
like.
This is bad. Because the carrots really show up in there. The carrots are like butter chicken and carrots. I don't know, soup carrots.
All right, let's go on. Let's go in on this jerk chicken.
In on it. Like, not go in terms of enthusiasm.
Here we go. I've got in my spoon. Wait, I gotta
there's
show
rice,
you.
Potatoes.
I gotta show it to you.
Carrots. What I assume to be bell peppers. It is chicken. It's cubed. I think by the striations that it's actually breast and not actually leg and thigh dark meat.
Spilled it. On the tablet.
And there's also corn in there. There's corn. I'm sure that's the kind of corn you'll see again in the morning. Mouth noises for the ASMR people. What you saying?
You're making the noises. You're making too much unauthentic noises.
I'm making
noises.
The mouth noises for
no
you.
Reason.
It's not for no reason. It's for the
it's
ASMR
for no
listeners.
Reason. I actually have food in my mouth. Let me make my own noises. Eat. You know what it tastes like to me?
What?
Has a texture of beef. Like a beef soup. It doesn't taste like chicken. What's the thing to your mouth now that you're actually eating? The worst. She said my face is telling the story. Tanya said my face is telling the story.
Okay.
It tastes like beef. Like if you had like stew
first
beef
of all,
and didn't cook it properly.
The jerk chicken tastes nothing like jerk. Like there's no allspice in there at all. They didn't even know that that was part of the ingredients. I'll tell you what they put in the front. Thyme. They put thyme in the front instead of allspice. Heavy thyme. Taste of thyme? lots of time, like more time than you would normally have in a packaged soup.
But does it taste like jerk?
No, no, it doesn't. Because you need more allspice for it to taste like jerk.
This, for those of you just joining in, we are tasting the two new soups here from
Campbell's
Chunky Soup
Series. Soup-appropriation series.
So these two soups are jerk chicken soup.
Mm-hmm.
Has a little bit of spice in it,
mm-hmm.
which you taste on my second spoonful.
You had two spoons?
I just had my second spoon.
Okay, you're committed.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that one, I think I like the butter chicken more than I like the jerk. If I had to choose,
are we comparing them between each other?
Yes.
Not to anything else I've ever eaten.
No,
ever?
Of course not. I'm about to eat this mucho burrito.
The worst part of the jerk chicken is that they called it jerk chicken. If they.
leave these people alone.
You had three spoons now. Are you sure you don't like it?
I'm going to try it again. I have to get a
this
good
one
try.
Has potato in it.
This one has a potato.
Potatoes,
on it.
Carrots, and peas, and sweet peppers. See that thyme? It's too much.
I see what she's saying about the thyme.
They put a lot of thyme in it, thinking that jerk chicken
mm-hmm.
is built on the back of thyme, but it's not. It's built on the back of allspice.
Mm. Yeah.
I don't know about this greenery in
this. Try this butter chicken.
There's no chicken in it. And yes, the chicken in the jerk chicken does taste like beef.
All right. I think I've had enough of that. But
I've
listen.
For sure had enough.
But listen to me. I chose to eat this now when I was the hungriest of hungry. Like, we got food to eat, and I did not eat the actual food.
You wanted to have a cleansed palate
for
this.
I wanted
to have
a cleansed palate. Fully hungry, because you know what, things taste great when you're hungry.
Yeah, I'm going to be belching this for 3 days. That's how much time is in here. I just had a burp. It just tastes like soup.
Yeah, it's definitely a soup.
It tastes like you made rice and some kind of bean type pea.
Yeah, and the jerk chicken soup portion is super runny.
It's really soupy, soupy.
Really runny. So, for those of you...
Ooh, this is making me nervous.
Are looking at it. The one with the spoon in it, that's the butter chicken.
Yeah.
The one without the spoon in it, that is the jerk chicken.
It's not delicious. If I was in a
was underwhelming.
It was exactly what we expected.
It wasn't.
Somebody thinks this is spicy though.
We do.
Somebody does.
I see my kids saying it's spicy. They think black pepper is very spicy.
Oh, boy.
But they're kids.
They are. What's on the screen for you?
On the screen. Wow. When I was a kid, the movie The Dark Crystal came out.
Mm-hmm.
I was not allowed to watch it. The reason is it dealt with crystals, vibrations, being one with the earth. And at the time, a religion called New Age had surfaced into the media. And so people were learning about the New Age, burning of incense, burning of sage, burning of different things, plus crystals that affect moods and different things like that. Were a big part of the New Age movement.
Mm-hmm.
So at the time, I was going to church and also going to Christian school. And so when it came out, The Dark Crystal came out right around that time, and a bulletin was sent out at the Christian school telling
parents
not to watch
Don't
The Dark Crystal.
Do it.
So when the Dark Crystal came out on Netflix, all these feelings of, wow, I've seen it. Oh, I can't wait. Netflix is doing this thing with the puppets again. Oh, wow, this is great. But after watching it, I realized I missed something. I missed the whole
movie.
So I believe it's a prequel to the movie.
So are you watching the movie now?
I have to find it. I'm gonna watch it.
Okay.
Yeah, I have to now find it. But I completed the entire series of The Dark Crystal.
Mm.
And I enjoyed it. The Dark Crystal takes place in a time when the Muppets was was really heavy.
Never-ending story.
Never-ending story come out.
Labyrinth.
There were lots of.
I was a fan of the puppet movies.
There's a lot of different puppet movies that came out.
And so I used Jim to watch Henson, the Muppet Show.
Jim Henson, who's the creator of
Muppets,
Decided to come up with one that was more realistic, with no humans in the puppets, no humans acting like puppets, no CGI, nothing like that, just pure puppets dying and fighting in on this big screen. And people took their children to see this, and they're like, "Oh, people died." Like,
that guy must have been a control freak, boy. Let me tell you. Jim Henson. He's like, forget these actors. I can do it with my hands.
He did the whole thing with actors inside. He actually hired special actors inside. So after you watch the series, they show you
who the people are.
They show you the background of where the original came from.
Wow.
The thought process. Who drafted it up? And it came from this book that this guy was, like, trying to piece together. And so they went and they did this prequel. And with the prequel, they made it in such a way that they can go anywhere and go as long as they can go before they reach where the movie actually starts.
Mm.
And so it's really interesting, the whole thing. I do recommend watching it. If you're into that, some people don't like the puppet thing, don't like it. The puppets don't walk around, you know, how puppets do this whole thing. I'm walking down the street. It's not like that. They actually try to mimic actual walking, flying. Mm. They even tried to do this one in CGI. But Lisa Henson, which I believe is Jim Henson's daughter, who now is the executive producer, she was like, after they saw the eyes, they needed the glass eye look. Because they made the eyes out of glass. So they need that glass eye look. Yeah. So that's what's on the screen for me.
Mm. Well, on the small screen, Girlfriends reunion on Blackish.
On Blackish, yeah.
So in this next season of Blackish, which begins on September 24th, mm-hmm. we meet Rainbow's friends, which of course are the girls from Girlfriends.
Yes.
So it'll be cool to see them back together again.
Yeah, Tracy Ellis Ross really had a great time.
And I didn't see it, but It 2 came out.
It 2.
But who did go see it was my daughter, who we'll be calling Sackley. That's what she would like to be called. She said, being that I'm Nilo, she should be Sackley. Because it's Sackley. So that's her name. So Sack,
that's her handle?
That's her handle.
Sackley.
So I said Sackley. She was like, no. Sackley.
So Sackley.
Sackley. Went to see It too, and she reviewed it. What? Sackley.
Exactly.
Exactly.
Yeah. So she went to go see.
Exactly. Right. You have to do the ass.
Exactly.
Right.
Got it.
So Sackley's review says, It too is super anticlimactic and kind of confusing. But we got cool seats to move, so it was okay. And that's the review for It too. I think I'm going to send it to a movie every week.
Listen, we need to send this child out to the movie. This was funny. The best part is how you read it. You read it back like you were like reading a verse out of the Bible.
A movie review.
Out of the Bible. You're like about to preach. This is what's up. But can I get it in? I was like, really?
First and foremost.
You need to read it like she wrote it.
Exactly. So, It too is super anticlimactic and kind of confusing, but we got cool seats to move, so it was okay. That's actually what it said. That's what she would have said. No, it's not funny that way. I need to read it my way because I'm the one who's reading it.
It was funnier when you read it. That's why I laughed.
I used to be the one who volunteered for reading in class. You'd be like, who's going to read paragraph or pages 67 through 75? I'm like, I got this. That I used to be there, like, I used to think of myself like a journalist while I read it.
I used to not put volunteer to read.
Did you watch, sorry, sidebar, did you watch Being the War on the Screen? Did you watch Dark Phoenix, the X-Men movie?
No.
Okay.
I've been too busy doing that, I think.
Yes.
But you know what? The thing about Dark Phoenix is...
Jean Grey's just, useless?
Jean Grey is the most useless Marvel character.
I'm glad I brought you over to my side. You're like, but Jean Grey, but she has the most powerful mental abilities. I was like, no, does she though?
I did not battle you on it. All I said
you
was,
started.
I was like,
you do know.
I was like, Jean Grey, but she's the most powerful mutant.
That's how you said it.
Potentially.
Wow. He didn't say potentially.
I did.
You sure did not. But cool. You said potentially. Okay.
Yeah, I said potentially.
Sure. That's not what you said. You're like, you know she's the most powerful X-Men, right? Like, she, her mind is more powerful than Professor Xavier's. And I was like, yeah.
First of all, I'm going to need you to take some of that out of your voice, that attitude. Like, you
so
know,
how
like,
you sound?
You know
I, you need, I need to take the Nigel out my voice?
Yeah. Is
okay.
That what I'm saying? You know this is what's up, right?
That's not how I sounded just now.
There are plenty of people that have come onto this podcast that can attest that I don't sound. How it really sounds is, you know...
Uh-huh.
She's the most powerful X-Men,
I left
right?
the window open.
You sure did. Two of them.
That one has a...
screen?
Yeah.
So, I just feel like she was
Jean
powerful.
Jean Grey's useless and we're going to post it up. Go ahead.
Yeah. If you get a chance, check out the YouTube link. Jean Grey's useless.
You can just Google it.
Yeah.
You can Jean Grey's useless and then select the videos tab on your YouTube. Somebody out there is going to be like, videos tab.
So yeah, that YouTube. So that's there. That's what else we got on the screen.
That's all I got. That's all. That's the only thing on my screen. I watched The Dark Phoenix.
You watched it. How was it? Review.
As usual, having trouble getting to the end. So far, she absorbed the Dark Phoenix, and she just walks around having temper tantrums. And people are like, "Jean,
welcome to the welcome,
Jean. Welcome. Was she here? Where is she? Jean Scott? No, you lied to me, Jean. That's what the movie's about. But it's Sansa Stark, isn't it? And I do like Sansa Stark.
Looks like I'm gonna have to watch that one.
It's not even top 10 of the X-Men movies. I don't even know how many were made.
Honestly, this one had the least amount of hype out of all the movies.
They slowly released. They slid that movie to the public. They were like, yo, don't mention it.
They're like, hey, here's one for you.
For the people. I actually genuinely love the X-Men.
The X-Men series is not bad. Like, they were able to go back and do prequels and go forward, do future. They were able to do a lot of things.
Yeah,
because
the
X-Men
are in different dimensional existences.
They're multiverses.
Mm-hmm. However, did you hear that they're pitching a Black Magneto and a Black Professor X? And of course, people lost their shit. They're going to revamp and redo.
What? Why?
Why
they
Black?
They tried that with Michael
B.
Jordan.
I'll tell you why.
It's
because
Storm.
In 2012.
Giant Storm.
Uh-huh. In 2012, Nielsen Rating mm-hmm. did this market analysis, and what they realized is that the Black dollar way outspends the white dollar, but advertising, movies, those things are not tailored to Black people, and Black people are the ones who are spending the money. So all the big movie studios since about 2012 have just been doing more Black things, replacing Black, you know, so there's more Black media now so we can get to the black dollars. Just like desegregation.
Okay.
Like, what? How is that like desegregation? Because it's all about the black dollars, people.
The black dollars is where it's at.
What else you got?
Well, on the screen, did you finish Cannon Busters?
No, I'm halfway through.
Just jump it out. Jump it from one series to the
other. I have to make products. So literally I watch Netflix while I'm making products. And all the products are there. I'm about to make something new. Two new things I'm really excited about. But
are you ready to reveal what those two new things are? No.
It will be something for eczema and psoriasis of the skin and scalp for the winter. One of the things, it's going to be a lotion. It's going to have protein in it, specifically oat protein. I'm just deciding how it's going to go in there, what way I'm going to put it in. It's going to be hydrolyzed or what? I haven't figured it out yet.
Okay, she's got it. One more thing for the screen, I'm sorry. Batman, the new movie.
Batman.
They're trying to...
The new Joker?
No, not Joker, but Batman.
Mm-hmm. Robert Pattinson?
They've got Robert Pattinson. Robert Pattinson is in the Twilight movies. He's the very fair skin.
The diamond vampire.
They're all diamond, but he's particularly pale.
With the red lips.
With the red lips.
Mm-hmm.
So
and the hair.
Yeah, he has been cast for Batman. So it's in stone. He's Batman.
It's terrible.
They wanted to figure out who they're going to have for Catwoman. They wanted somebody of African-Americans.
I saw Zoe Kravitz on the list.
Tiana Taylor has been starting to climb as far as popular.
No.
People
Tiana
wanted to get
Taylor,
in.
No. Tiana Taylor is supposed to be Madam Slay.
Madam Slay?
Yeah.
In Batman?
No, in Black Panther.
So?
That lady actually looks like her. Like, she actually looks like the drawing.
She could do both.
I don't like it when people are used for different superhero movies. And and then she's going to be the DC.
D-Lo doesn't like it, so she's out.
I don't.
Nobody cares about that.
You're going to be in both universes?
Absolutely. What's his name just did that? Ryan Reynolds were in both universes.
That doesn't mean I like it.
Yeah.
He was in all the universes because then that nigga showed up as Pikachu.
He sure did.
As a detective. And they were like, Pikachu, played by Deadpool.
Yes, Pikachu. Really?
Is Deadpool in Pikachu now?
Okay.
I watched Aladdin.
Aladdin, how's that?
The very last scene, Will Smith turns into the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. Not physically, but the way he's talking immediately. Like, he goes into, like, I guess he just came in quick and did that scene or whatever. But all of his genie-ness goes away in that scene. He's just the Fresh Prince. I don't even know what he says. So I was like, what? It's like that other movie, The Killing of a Sacred Deer, when that character that Colin Farrell was playing apparently just turns into Colin Farrell, puts on a slouchy hat, and I'm like, oh, it's Colin Farrell.
I think we watched that one. But that one was...
It was a weird one.
It was a strange
one. I like weird movies, though.
Yeah. It was a weird
movie. It was super bizarre.
So, yeah.
That's it.
I think that's it for
Do we get through another one? We got through another one.
We did get through another one. So what's happening coming up is there's a wedding I'm doing next. There's a couple weddings that are going on, but we are getting ready for the end of this. The end of this month is the 5 Artists One Love mini show.
Culture Days.
For Alberta Culture Days.
Nice.
Darren Jordan has it. If you go on, Darren Jordan has lots of advertisements that will be coming out. As far as where to go and how to find it, the venue is, I believe it's the same venue as last year.
I didn't go last year.
Just different owners, but it was really, really good. It was stellar. So last year they had a artist paint off is a battle. We had four artists battling it out. Did you know that?
Mm-hmm. Let me turn that down. I got you.
Okay. So, it was a really great experience. There were lots of people coming in and out of the venue, and it was great. We had the battle. We had the DJ there. We had live music going on. The MBCC came out and showed out there with free food and there was drinks and stuff like that. This year, it looks like it aims to be even better than the years before.
He did multidisciplinary this year, so he did four different artists from four different disciplines, which I'm interested to see. How are we going to compare apples and oranges?
And that's the thing. People got to vote based on what they liked. They weren't really like, oh, this is a great oil canvas. They were just basically like,
I like painting.
I like painting. And this picture really comes up with the title. So last year it was Black Girl Magic was the title of the theme.
So I went to it. Here's what happens. Whoa. I'm going to tell you guys, whoa, you have to go to this event. And I'll tell you why you have to go to this event. I will tell you why right now. If you don't go to this event, you will not get tickets to Five Artists, One Love. At this event, they also sell tickets for Five Artists, One Love. And 1 year I went to the event and I was like, yeah, sure, I'll get a Five Artists ticket because they're selling it. I didn't even realize really, really what happens is the tickets for Five Artists really, really sells out. So when I went to this mini show, I wound up getting a ticket. The next year, I didn't go to the mini show. And guess what happened? Old girl got left in the cold.
Yo. Old girl got left in the cold.
Right. I couldn't even call nobody for tickets. Meanwhile, the year prior, I was on the stage, guy. This time, I couldn't even get in the front door.
Yo, the thing about Five Artists One Love, the actual big show that happens out
in February,
which is happening the first weekend of February this year, this show sells out every year.
It every year.
Great show. This
you
year,
are not going to get tickets to this show if you don't come to this show.
The year that Dila was
I'm
there,
trying to tell you.
The year that Dila was in, it was called. It was a nod to the Apollo, and we did Showtime at the Apollo. I emceed portion of it. It was fire hot. It was.
I was excellent.
This and Dila was excellent in her part as the. She played the role of not very
someone to get booed. But however, I'm hilarious. So it backfired, which I told you it would. That's what happens when you give me the mic. Okay.
A boot did find its way on the stage.
Was not at me.
It was in her general direction.
They booed the booers.
They booed the booers. Because her joke was very subpar, but it was okay. I liked
it. It was an excellent joke. In fact, you didn't realize how good it was because you were like, we were trying to figure out what I was going to do to get booed off stage. You were like, yo, okay, tell me a joke. And I was like, okay. So a giraffe and a lion walk into a bar. And you're like, fine, that joke's not funny. Tell it. And then it turns out that it was hilarious.
Right. Can you tell the people the joke?
So come out to Five Artists, One Love. I'll tell the joke. You'll hear the joke then.
So you can ask her, go to the Five Artists, One Love mini show. It is at the London Villas Hub. This is on 9620 109 Ave. This is Friday, September the 27th. This is at 7 p.m. If you're going to be late, fine. But food, you're not going to get food.
It's pierogies.
The drinks are going to be gone.
The pierogies are good.
The pierogies, I don't know. I don't know if they're going to use the same people as they used last year.
Okay.
It was a completely different setup as.
Remember, I didn't go last year. I was left out in the cold.
She got left
out. No blanket. Cold world, no blanket.
Last year, it was amazing food, and it was great, and a lot of it was great. So NBCC and Darren Jordan both will present Five Artists, One Love, what we call the mini show for that, and they're going to have the multi-medium art battle royale, live music, appetizers, and soulful vibes. So there's going to be lots of singing.
I'll be there with soulful vibes.
So please, please come out.
That's what I'm bringing.
To check out. This is on Friday. Culture Day.
And if you can hear this, can we please like fashion out, please, at all of these things? Usually people like to wear their hats and their big brimmed hats and their tall hats. This is a time where the hats come out. Trust me, it's definitely a hatful event. Mm-hmm. So let's fashion out for this. Because we black. Like, let's do it.
I want to see
pictures. Or whatever. Sure. Everybody. It's a multicultural event.
I want to see pictures. I want to see people fashion out for it. It's going to be the bomb. So, let's have fun. All right. I think that's it for this week's episode, episode 21 of
The Black Multiverse Theory Podcast. So a lion and a giraffe walk into a bar.
Let's just cancel this.
You can catch us on Apple, Google, Spotify, Breaker. We're on Podbean, Overcast, Pocket Cast, Radio Public, and of course, Stitcher. Thanks. Perfect. We'll see you next week. Oh, there's no word for the week? My word. Oh, you have a word?
No, go ahead.
My word is this. I've been actually really, really struggling with mental health for this last week. Sometimes I'm perfectly fine. Sometimes I have ups and sometimes I have downs. And it's hard to know kind of when they're coming and also mitigate. And really what happens is that I have a couple pillars of self-care that have eroded over the last few months. So my body is particularly prone to stress and certain things that happen just physically and emotionally. I start feeling it. So out there, I just hope that you focus on your self-care and make sure you take care of yourself. I've seen a lot of people who have been talking about depression, who've been talking about anxiety, who've been talking about what they're going through on just on their pages, just on the scroll. So I just want you to know that for sure Aphrodisiac is a safe space. If you want to come in here and have nobody talk to you, I can 100% accommodate that. You know, you can definitely reach out if you need to. And I did. I definitely reached out to the people who were close to me and let them kind of know what I was going through. And still am just working my way out of it. I did do self-care today. I ate some grapefruit and smelled some aromatherapy oils and just kind of started to get myself back on track. My heart is with everybody. Kind of reach out to the people who are close to you and the people who love you. If you need a place to sit in silence, Aphrodisiac's here. Or if you need to talk, I guess the talking part's a little bit harder for me. Because I don't always feel like it. But I will listen. So definitely if you just keep your lifeline. And reach out to the people who you need to. And I hope you guys have a really good week. It's Sunday, so
have a good one.
Do it up.
Do it up, everyone.
See you next week.